Welcome to the Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Sherry Davidson.
And I'm Candace Rogers. This is our quaint, warm space where we will share our passion for well-being and explore everyday living in health, wellness, and design to help you thrive in your life.
Welcome to the Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Sherry Davidson, acupuncturist, health and wellness coach, and former interior designer.
And I'm Candace Rogers, interior designer, and I'm a wellness designer. And today we have Shauna Tatum in our studio, and she's here to talk about nutrition and home gardens.
Yay! A little bit about Shauna. Shauna is a registered dietitian nutritionist that follows a personalized functional nutrition approach. Finding wellness through the power of food, balance with good sleep, daily movement, stress reduction, and meaningful relationships, she deeply believes optimal wellness and vitality can be realized. She also utilizes testing to detect nutrient deficiencies and, along with her clients, develops a targeted plan for your health goals. Through this whole health-centered approach, her hope is to empower clients to step into and find their own healthy balance. She is a member of the Dietitians and Integrative and Functional Medicine Practice Group and of the Institute of Functional Medicine. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Hey, Shauna.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're excited to have you here to talk more about nutrition, your passion for gardening, and also cooking. You love to cook.
Yes. Yeah. Very much.
Yeah. And we, was actually requested by a listener. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't think I did know that.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Great.
This topic was requested, and we thought you'd be a great person
Good.
For that.
Well, thank you, listener. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, and two, you know, COVID has really been shining a spotlight on our health these days, and our immune health especially. And we know how important diet is for immune health. Also, during the pandemic, a lot of people have been growing their own foods, and they've been cooking a lot more.
Thank goodness.
So we thought we'd just bring it all together in this podcast. Yeah. And welcome. We're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just recently, I found out that Shauna is a former interior designer. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. So I had no idea until recently. We were in this networking meeting together. Shauna accidentally said that she was a licensed designer. And I was like, what? I didn't really think anything about it. And then she said, well, I used to be a designer. And I'm like, wait, what? I didn't know that about her. So I think that's really cool. I had no idea.
It was a great part of my life. You know, when in that meeting, I was sharing about what I was doing, and I just said registered designer instead of registered dietitian.
Yeah. And it's still a part of you.
What? So it is a part of me. I'm married to an architect.
I didn't know that either.
So part of that will always be there, just this sensitivity to design and my environment and understanding all of those principles, I think will be something that's just...
Well, it makes a lot more sense now, especially just listening to you in some of these meetings when you're talking. Now it just all made sense that you used to be an interior designer.
Well, and I think that was when we first met, we had that connection as well.
We started talking about all these different people we knew, and even I think University of Houston, right?
Is that where you went to school? Yes. You went to U of H? Okay.
Yeah, and you know Jackie. You know Jackie Berry. Yeah. She was a former guest as well. Mm-hmm. And you know PDR.
Yes.
Yeah. Who did you work for?
Well, I started out with Trammell Crow Company. I was on the developer side.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I moved into more facilities.
Yeah. Like facilities management.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked for Bank United.
So okay.
I did retail banks and their corporate offices. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to work for DuPont and some marketing for them of some of their products.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a great career. I really enjoyed
it. That's awesome. I have a friend, she was a really good friend of mine. she's also a former interior designer, and then she went into facilities too. Oh, so yeah, it's a great, that's a great career for interior designers to, you know, people, they don't think about that as a career, but they do hire a lot of designers for that.
All those restacks, writing standard, some days was kind of boring, but then other days were not. So, I mean, it's like any job, I think.
So how did you go from that to then being a, to become a nutritionist?
A great path, I think. I was enjoying design, and we decided to have our first baby. And when Reed was born, at that time when I was working at DuPont, I was still traveling. And so at first it was okay, you know, to be gone some. It was time with the grandparents that he could spend. But then we had a second baby, and I was still traveling, and I didn't like that. So I actually went part-time after he was born, but I was still traveling. And so we had our third son, and I just said, I miss these boys too much. So I stopped working after James was about a year old.
Okay.
And I was a stay-at-home mom. It was the greatest job in the world. I loved these boys. They wore me out, but it was great.
Three boys.
And so somewhere in that timeline of being a mom, I got an autoimmune condition.
Oh.
And so I didn't, after it was psoriasis.
Okay.
And kind of starting the beginnings of psoriatic arthritis.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, in my late 30s, feeling, not feeling so good. And so they were looking at some medications that were pretty strong to help suppress it. And I didn't really want to do that. So I started looking at food and my diet and cleaning that up, doing some elimination diets. And I started feeling a little bit better. And then I started tuning in my movement, you know, my physical activity. And then I started getting a little bit better, and my sleep got better. And when I pulled in meditation and I really calmed my stress response and I really let my body rest, then everything just kind of clicked.
Wow.
And my psoriasis was just in my face. So it was like a glaring to me problem that I needed to address. But there were also some emotional components too, which there always are. And so some time reflecting on all of that. And then once all that started improving, I was thinking, what in the world has just happened to my body? And I wanted to learn about it. So I went back to school. I just went to HCC and took a anatomy and physiology class. Okay. And I loved it.
I love Houston Community College. It's such a great school.
It, I had some wonderful professors. And so then I just kept going, and then it was chemistry, and then it was like, this is a new career. I'm going to do this. So I did, and I loved it, and I knew that I wanted to be able to teach people that, you know, the power of the body is really strong if you can learn how to tune in and start to really fine-tune those things in your life, including diet. And so I now have my own practice and offer that service for other people.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. And I totally believe that. And I think that's kind of how I met Sherry, was because I was having a lot of migraine headaches and I didn't want to be on medication anymore. And I had started acupuncture in Atlanta. And then when I moved here to Houston, I wanted to continue. And I just didn't want to be on that cycle. Like you said, I had already kind of figured out that I was allergic, you know, to certain foods. Dairy was a big one. But then just, you know, trying to do things to get ahead of it, you know, instead of just like treating the problem with medication. And then I felt like, you know, the medications have other things that side effects and things that happen to you. And I actually felt like I was getting more headaches with the medication. Like I was having more frequent headaches, but it's interesting that you say that and you were able to figure out, because you have beautiful skin. I mean, you really, really do. And so just figuring that out and getting in tune with your body, that's amazing.
And the acupuncture probably also, you know, treated other parts of you that you may not have even known were imbalanced.
I say that all the time. I had a guy come in one day and I was doing knee pain. He came in, I guess we did like maybe 3 or 4 sessions. And then he came in, he's like, you know what? I didn't tell you this, but I was having headaches and I haven't had them since I've been doing acupuncture.
Wow.
Yeah. And so you do treat this whole system. Yes. And when you start treating a part, you end up treating the whole. And then, so when people ask me, they'll say, what kind of results should I see? And I'm like, well, it just depends. I said, pay attention to everything. And I tell them that story because it's like, this person never even thought to tell me about their headaches, right?
Yeah. So yeah, and they noticed it when they weren't there anymore. When they noticed. Mm-hmm. They were like, wow, this really improved. Mm-hmm. And I totally believe that what you eat, what you put in your body makes a huge difference in just your mood, your energy levels, like that. Like it can cause, like for me, it was causing headaches. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that that was part of the allergy. Was the headaches and all the other things, you know, like the actual allergy. You think food allergies, you always think your throat closes up or you get hives
or an immediate reaction.
But this would literally be like the next day or 2 days later that I would start feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had one doctor that gave me really a high, strong pain medication. Mm-hmm. And they were like, take this. And I'm like, I'm not taking that.
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm not going to take it. Yeah. I never took it. I still had that whole prescription and I never took it because I'm like, of course I'm not going to have a headache because I'm going to be knocked out cold. So, I mean,
and then you can get an addiction.
Yeah. So. I mean, she just literally was like, here, this is what you have migraines. Here's this strong, pain medication. Take this. And, you know, I believe if you have an emergency or something like that and you need to take it, that's a different story. But that to me was not the way to treat my headaches.
Right. So. Well, there are some amazing medications out there that really are life-saving.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And even long-term for people that need to be on it. But there's so many lifestyle things that we can do that really can improve our health. Mm-hmm. I mean, people forget that what's on the end of your fork is really information that's directing the cells to do something. Mm-hmm. It's either going to make a cell membrane or it's going to make a sex hormone or it's going to repair some of the cells in the intestinal tract. Mm. You know, it has information.
It has purpose.
It's all chemistry.
Yeah.
And if we're just eating, which it happens, food's more than just information. It's culture and tradition and emotion.
That's right.
Connection, which is all beautiful. I want us to have all of that. Mm-hmm. And I want you to remember that it's doing all these things inside for you.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I think it's one, I always say, I do general like Chinese medicine diet stuff. And we talk in terms of like heat and cold. But I tell people all the time, I'm like, food is one way that you can take care of yourself every single day.
Mm-hmm. It's all in your power
every single day, And I think people just, they don't see it as that. They don't see it as information. They don't see it as medicine. Right. They just see it as the enjoyment or the entertainment or the cultural part of it. But there are a lot of cultures too that are focused. I mean, they're when you get to the essence of what they eat is very, I think, healthy. Mm-hmm. It's the processed foods.
Yes.
It's all the it's all
that
the,
is really true.
It's all the new way. I don't know what the timeline is on that. Was 19.
Gosh.
Like
40s.
I was going to say it's been a long time.
So I think that, if people could just take that piece out, they're doing a lot.
Huge step for their health. Yeah. Definitely. Huge step. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing it now?
This is my 3rd year. So it's still pretty new.
Wow. Yeah.
But I had the honor of having my clinical rotation at Bentop Hospital and some amazing practitioners there. But so much suffering in the patients. Much suffering. I mean, my first day I saw a gunshot wound.
So maybe tell, because I know a lot of people aren't from Houston that listen to this podcast. So maybe tell them what Bentop.
Bentop is a trauma hospital. It's a county hospital. Huge and just amazing teaching hospital. Mm-hmm. I saw every outcome for chronic disease there.
Wow.
So it really planted in my mind firmly what poor lifestyle looks like and how our conventional medical system treats it. And so that was really foundational for me. I also learned at that time that that was not a place that I felt like I could serve. Mm-hmm. That it was because of the acute care that it's providing, I really wanted to be more on the prevention, and that mm-hmm. these strategies following a functional medicine model are over time. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole saying of it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Yeah.
That we are looking for this health span, you know, the whole field of longevity research that's opened up. We're looking to get to 90, 95 and just be rocking it, not crippled and facing an amputation because mm-hmm. we have uncontrolled diabetes. It's really enjoying life. And mm-hmm. so it takes time. You know, every decision you make about what you're eating and how you're sleeping and how you're managing your stress, mm-hmm. even though they're small decisions in the moment, they add up.
Yeah.
And so I thought I could work clinical for a while because mm-hmm. we have three children and we're saving for college. And I went back to college. And so I thought, well, we need to, you know, have some money coming in. But it was just too difficult for mm-hmm. me to mm-hmm. be in that environment that was so conventional and acute care. I wanted right. to be in prevention. So this has been a good place. And I just jumped right in.
Prevention's fun. I like that site as well. I've gone through that a little bit. Obviously, I wasn't in trauma, but I've gone through that with my practice. And I really find that I love talking about prevention. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the reasons why I did the health coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like if, you know, in Chinese medicine, a long time ago, the doctor didn't get paid if the patient was sick, right?
Wow, yeah.
So it was the opposite. Reversed. And I've always remembered that saying.
I have goosebumps.
I know. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. Exactly. We're supposed to help people stay healthy and not treat. I mean, obviously, be very thankful we have the medicine that we have, because I'm a big fan of Western medicine.
Yes.
But everyday care is not its, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and it should work together, the preventive part. And then if you do need, you know, medication to control something, I think they can all work together.
And I think mm-hmm. we're going that direction.
Yeah.
I think especially since COVID,
mm-hmm.
it's, I know are you familiar with the Global Wellness Institute?
No, I'm not.
I love them.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of them.
Great.
They have trends for like 2020, 2021, uh-huh. and the convergence of Western and Eastern medicine is happening. Western and wellness.
Yeah.
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 Conventional medicine and wellness mm-hmm. is converging, and they're going to be, instead of, you know, wellness was always seen as
hooey.
but that's not the case anymore since COVID, and they're predicting that. So it'll be fun.
For our business, that has been fantastic because the whole shift of language has been around prevention.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, it started out of just wash your hands more and social distance. But then people really started seeing about, oh, well, I'm forced to be at home, so I'll cook at home. Mm-hmm. And they started enjoying what they're cooking mm-hmm. and even looking at nutrition from mm-hmm. taking vitamin C and vitamin D. I mean, just normal average people started having these conversations that didn't really think about it before. So that has definitely been a welcome shift.
Yeah, for sure. So what have you seen since COVID and like your patients, or like what impact has that had?
Yeah, probably three things really. The first one is about immune health. People just being so focused. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, you know, have half your plate be vegetables, eat at home, you know, just have good whole foods. So immune support has been a big thing. The second one really has been weight loss. I've had more weight loss patients last year than I ever have.
Do you think that's because people are at home and they...
Oh, I've gained weight since COVID.
Is it because people are gaining weight since COVID, or they have the time maybe to focus on it? Or
I don't know. For me, I know me and a lot of my friends, we laugh about that we've put on pounds.
I've heard the COVID-15.
Yeah, we're not working out like we were, I think. That's the number one thing. But
I think so too. I think it's that you have this change in your routine. Mm-hmm. It's stressful.
Yeah.
And stress eating and emotional eating has mm-hmm. been something that people do. I mean, I do it too. Mm-hmm. And I really did it when it first started.
Yeah.
Stress drinking, yeah. You know, alcohol sales yes. has really gone up and more people are drinking. And then gyms had been closed. Mm-hmm. And so if they were in a routine of going to the gym, then figuring out a way to work out in the driveway or watch a video, you know, there's only so much behavior change.
Yeah.
At once that someone can take on.
Yeah.
And so all of those things became different. I have heard, though, my patients reporting better sleep because, you know, commute times are being reduced. If they're working from home, that they can sleep a little bit later maybe mm-hmm. than they used to. Not all people, but some. So those things have been good. And then the whole telehealth platform,
okay.
you know, being able to see my patients via telehealth has been good.
Yeah, that is that. I do like that because it seemed like people kind of weren't into the telehealth before this. Like it was out there, but people still mm-hmm. weren't really into mm-hmm. it. And then it forced people to do it. And now people really like it.
It's convenient.
It's so convenient.
Have you done one yet?
I've done another kind of telehealth uh-huh. with my therapist, uh-huh. but I haven't done it with like a medical doctor.
I have not had a visit, but I have done visits.
Yes, with your health coaching.
And it's the health coaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I know when this first started, there was a lot of, you know, talk with telehealth and acupuncture is doing acupressure, teaching mm-hmm. acupressure, mm-hmm. which I think is good. But to me, that's just not the same. It's just not the same. I have to do it in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't actually had a visit.
But I think it's great, convenient. Especially for, there are certain things that you could prescribe things or treat people mm-hmm. you know, by just mm-hmm. talking to them and, you know, maybe then.
You don't have those long waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Waiting
it is convenient.
It's
All
convenient.
Of this is very convenient. So I think that part
It'll
is going to stay.
I do too.
Especially
I
for elderly too. People mm-hmm. who can't travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been really good. My parents, it's so funny. My dad, they wanted to do like a telehealth visit with my dad. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't do that. And I'm like, well, Dad, why don't you try it? You know, you don't have to go to the office. You don't have to. But for them, it made them nervous. That whole, you know, they didn't know
they didn't
how to set
it
up. They didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So I think my dad did finally do it, though.
Yeah.
And
good.
He liked it.
Yeah.
So stuff like that has been, mm-hmm. I like mm-hmm. that part of technology, mm-hmm. especially with the healthcare has increased with
COVID.
Well, I
just see benefits too of just expanding access.
Yeah.
Yes.
More rural communities where they may not have a practitioner that now can provide telehealth services is really going to be good, I think, going forward.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Well, let's talk about immune health and nutrition because, and when I think of immune health, I think diet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you have to do, like sleeping well, but diet's a huge piece of that.
So my recommendations that have just kind of been since it started is make sure you get adequate protein because all of our white blood cells require protein.
And what is that? I know there's some confusion
about
how much protein.
Well, normally we take someone's body weight. This is mm-hmm. usually what I do. You take their body weight and mm-hmm. you convert it to kilograms.
Okay.
So say you are a 150-pound person divided by 2.2 is the conversion to get kilograms. And I think that comes out to something like 72 kilograms. The range for protein is usually 6.6 to 1.0 grams of protein per kilogram.
Okay.
So once you've kind of figured out what your weight is, then you can kind of see. But for an average person, somewhere between 50 to 65 grams of protein a day.
Okay.
We need a little bit more as we age when you're older,
like
1.2 grams of protein.
So, how do you feel about protein, animal protein versus plant protein?
I like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think there are certain populations when we're thinking about eating a strict vegetarian diet or a vegan diet, adolescents, people, you know, young people moving into their early adulthood, those are some pretty critical development times. So being, and certainly early infancy too, really animal protein really does provide a very bioavailable form of B vitamins. mm-hmm. particularly B12. And so we just need to track and follow those patients a little bit closer when they're doing a full vegetarian diet, because plant proteins are good and do provide a lot mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. good proteins for us. But we just want to make sure that that patient is being followed a little bit closer.
Okay. That's interesting you say that too about the B vitamins, because I do eat a lot of, I'm not a vegetarian, but I eat a lot of vegetarian in my mm-hmm. diet. Like I don't eat a lot of meat protein. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have meat protein with every meal. And then I was low. One of the things with my headaches was I was low in B vitamins. Mm-hmm. And so now I take a supplement for that, a B12 and also a B supplement. I did read that about people mm-hmm. that were vegetarians or vegans, that they did need to be careful yeah. about their bees.
Yeah, especially uh-huh. vegans, because some vegetarians eat eggs. Mm-hmm. So
or even fish. Or fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the vegans, yeah. I have a question around the B vitamins.
Yes.
I'm always curious. I have tons of questions. But, you know, because I've been vegan for a little bit, vegetarian, and now I'm kind of back. I eat mostly vegetarian.
Flexitarian.
I'm a flexitarian at this
I
point.
I like that word.
But I'm very careful when I do eat meat where that comes from, yes. and I don't typically eat it out yes. at all.
Mm-hmm.
If I do eat any meat, it's usually fish or I stay vegetarian.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as, you know, being an athlete, I didn't really have any problems with being tired mm-hmm. or anything, but I did watch my vitamins, my B vitamins mm-hmm. when I was vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious because they say that you can, like, I've always had a question like, okay, well, if we need to supplement, that to me doesn't mean that it is an appropriate diet if we have to supplement with something. But they say that you can get your B vitamins from plants somehow, how they photosynthesize. Is that, am I saying this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think that you can get most of them
from plants.
Yeah,
okay.
There are a lot of them. But as far as the whole supplementing thing, as an athlete, you're yeah. pushing it, you're pushing your body past
yeah.
what maybe a normal consumption would give you.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly at that higher training level, you are going to burn through B vitamins
okay.
and vitamin C too,
yeah.
because it's that antioxidant. You know,
yeah.
when we have high metabolism, mm-hmm. it's creating oxidative stress in the body. And so
okay.
the C is going to help with that. But with the higher need that you have, I could see where you would need to supplement.
Yeah,
so.
I did. Okay. But I always had a question too, just as not being an athlete, just being on a vegan diet. Like, you know, because I go through these, well, let me try this for a little bit and see how my body responds to it. Because not everybody responds
exactly.
the same way.
Exactly.
And I found out it was better for me not to be on a vegan diet. But just physiologically, my body just mm-hmm. was doing things, not lots and lots of gas.
Beans and lentils.
That's a lot of the good sources. And I love every single one of them.
Yeah.
But man, I was just walking around.
Yeah.
It was awful. And I was, there were times I was really embarrassed too.
Yeah, well, socially and too. That
socially,
could change
it's,
your
it
experience.
Does.
Yeah.
And, and one final day was in the clinic.
You said,
oh my
I was
God.
Like, that is it.
I just had this thought. Okay, that is so funny. Why do we think that's so funny? Why is that always so funny? It's a natural thing.
Because we don't talk about it.
I know.
And everybody does it.
I know. Yeah. That's what I mean. Why is it so funny?
So many patients, they get embarrassed when I
why
ask
do we,
them about
yeah, why do we get embarrassed about it? Everybody does it.
You're just taught that way, I think.
I always say, I don't do that.
Yeah.
be a lady.
Well, living in a house with four men.
Oh, gosh.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
You're like, please.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, I totally forgot where I was going with that train of thought.
We were on the
vitamins.
Yes. So I finally, anyways, I kind of introduced some more animal protein back uh-huh. into my diet. But the B vitamins, like still, like I've heard that you have to supplement or people should supplement. They advise you to supplement if you're a vegan. And I'm like, even if you're not an athlete, like for me, like why I don't feel like you should have to. I like supplements,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm not getting something from my food,
maybe it's a recommendation just based on kind of the average person.
Maybe.
I
that's what it is.
Make a guess. I don't,
yeah.
I have only had a few vegan patients
yeah.
and they were pretty educated about their diet.
Yeah.
So, but it goes back to, you know, what you said, everyone is so different.
Yeah.
Our genetics and where we came from, you know, where someone in Scandinavia may do really well with this type of diet, someone from the African continent may really do something different.
That's true. Yeah.
And those genes, while we evolve, it's not as fast, I don't think, maybe as...
Well, I know there's a guy, and he grew up vegetarian, and he's vegan now, but he's a bodybuilder, and he's never had, I don't know if he's had eggs, but I know he has never had meat, and he's
What was that documentary?
It's worked well for him.
That documentary on Netflix about the athletes, the athletes that are vegan, that was really good.
What was the name of that?
I don't know that I saw.
Yeah,
I may have listened to the first 10 minutes and turned it off.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it's a documentary, and it's about these high performers, these athletes, and all of them are vegan. They just talk about what they eat and how, you know, how it helps with their performance. And obviously they're getting a well-rounded, they're very educated and they're getting a well-rounded, balanced diet. So I think that helps, but it's an interesting documentary.
I can't remember the name of it, but they got some of the guys in that documentary because they said that if they were vegan, their sperm count went up, I think.
Those were the football players. They were funnier. So, remember they were laughing?
Yeah. I think it was the sperm count.
The football players they got all they were like giggly about that when they told them that. So also let's talk about gardening. So you have a home garden, and
I love it. My grandmother raised 6 kids on the farm. My grandfather
here?
No, in West Texas.
Okay.
And so I always grew up around garden. She had the farm, and then when she moved from the farm and had a garden, and I loved getting my hands in the dirt. In fact, when I was going through that whole period of evaluating my diet, and I completely redid our front yard and made all these garden beds.
Oh, nice.
And I think that is actually part of what helped me get better. Having my hands in the dirt. And really, because the soil has its own amazing ecosystem. And I think being active in that, and also being outside and having the vitamin D, because vitamin D is very important for autoimmune, that you have a good level of vitamin D, not have any deficiency. And so it was just always something I wanted to have.
And it's therapeutic. Gardening is therapeutic.
It's creative.
It's creative.
I have a lot more fails in my garden than wins.
I've heard that from many people that garden.
Yeah. I just keep showing up.
Yeah.
And Mother Nature keeps teaching me. And occasionally something will grow and bloom and taste delicious. The freeze, you know, was sad that we had recently here in Houston. But yesterday I was putting new soil and compost and got some new things ready to plant. So I do enjoy it. I'm on the education committee for Urban Harvest, which is a wonderful organization. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with it, but tons of resources to learn how to garden. They have
and they have a farmer's market.
They do. The farmer's market's a blast every Saturday from 8 to 12, rain or shine.
Where is it?
It is on Westheimer at...
Oh, it's the one...
It used to be east. It used to be east side, and then they moved.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
It's between like St. Luke's Methodist Church and St. John's School. So it's a big parking lot. Tons of ranchers, produce.
Oh, nice.
A lot of prepared food. So if you're not a big cook and you just want to go pick up some food, juices, spices, probiotics, it's loaded.
Sounds amazing. I haven't been to that one.
Yeah, I used to go to East Side all the time. But, you know, it's hard because I run in the mornings and on Saturday mornings. And so it's hard for me to get there. I usually like to go first thing if I can.
Because they do sell out.
They do sell out, yeah.
There's a couple other good markets. There's one that started on Sundays, every other Sunday in the Rice Village.
Oh, yes. Is that they used to have one on Tuesdays.
Yes, but it's not associated with the same group. Okay. It's It's now on every other Sunday. It's the same group that does. There's one in the Heights at 6 or White, like White Oak. I can't remember what that street turns into, and Heights Boulevard.
Okay. Do you know that's where I got Finn? Was that the Rice Farmers Market?
I didn't know that. I'm sure you told me, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I was running around Rice University, and I looked over, and independent rescuer was there, and he was in a cage.
Oh, that's
and,
so cute.
I was like, oh. Gosh, that terrier face is so cute.
Sweet.
So I ran over there, but it was rice.
I didn't know it was in the market.
Yeah, I saw they were having that. I wanted to check that one out too, that they were having.
I feel like it's not as big. Yeah. The East Side's nice. The East Side has huge everything.
Yeah. And then some.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Things you didn't know you needed.
And I know.
They end up in my bag. I know. Saturday.
So they'll have music there sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have everything, like all kinds of vegetables in your garden?
No. Like right now, all that I had before the freeze was kale and collard greens.
Okay.
Which is good because I love both of those. Uh-huh. Full of calcium and magnesium. We forget that leafy greens have minerals.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good. But now I'm planting tomatoes, green beans, cucumbers, and squash.
Okay. That was one of my questions. Like, what actually, like, this time of year, like, should you be planting? And those are
some great things. Okay. Top performers. And they'll go until it gets pretty hot. Tomatoes don't like it just as hot as...
Okay.
You know, we kind of have warm season, and then we have hot season.
Scorching season.
Yes. Yeah. And then we have warm season again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can do those same things in warm season one as in
season two.
But yeah, it's easy to grow those things. It's not that hard.
Okay. I try to, I did really well with like containers.
Yes.
I did like tomatoes, and then I did a lot of herbs.
Great.
And that was great because I hated going to the grocery store. And, you know, you get those big bundles and then they don't last. And I felt bad, like all of these herbs going bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really planted anything lately here. So I wanted to get back into at least doing the herbs and maybe like a small tomato plant.
Yes.
I tried a lime tree that was potted and I ended up killing that, unfortunately. I go through mine where I'm the same thing, where some things I'm really good at and then some things they just don't make it. Like, what was yours that you had that didn't make it? Cilantro?
Oh, my poor cilantro. You didn't have any. I don't know why. If I can grow cilantro, if I could grow chives and...
I use a lot of parsley.
Parsley. Yeah.
And cilantro. And
those three, because I go through them.
Yeah.
So much.
Well, they're annual, so you need to keep, you know, after season replanting.
Okay.
And it just is a short season.
Short season, okay.
But I couldn't even get it to... Do you know that in the freeze, my basil died in my house?
Well, it was really cold in your house.
It died in my house.
Wow. Well, it's tender to cold, so...
Yeah.
One time I bought... I can't remember what I thought it was. It was supposed to be some kind of an herb, and it started growing. And I was like, that is not an herb. And it turned out to be a jalapeno pepper plant.
Wow.
Which was great, because I had all these peppers, but it was so funny, because I think I thought it was a basil plant, because I didn't know. It had a tag on it that said basil, but it wasn't. And then when it started growing, I was like, that's not basil. But I was like, it's some kind of pepper. I don't know what. And then it ended up being jalapeno pepper, and it grew really great. And I had these jalapeno peppers that I wasn't expecting. Yeah. But I know a lot of people, even some of my friends, have gotten into cooking and also gotten into the gardening, like trying to, you know, at least with herbs.
Mm-hmm. Herbs I think are it's such a great place to start. Mm-hmm.
And I was going
to
ask you.
Gardening.
Yeah.
Those are the
two
great ways.
Of the book, Square Foot Garden?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have it, but I've seen it.
It's been around for a long time. My dad actually gave it to me.
I did.
A long time ago. And then I ended up, remember when I went through the decluttering and I got rid of all my books?
You got rid of that one?
I got rid of that one.
Darn. So
I ordered it again.
You did. Okay.
There's a new edition out, but it's all about square foot garden. It's great for the city.
Oh, yes. It's perfect.
I'll have to read that.
So if someone wanted to start a garden, because I know the listener that suggested this, she just started. So what are some good tips on growing some good plants or the best vegetables? I know you mentioned some of them.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Yeah.
You just have to decide, I'm going to try it and just expect maybe that things don't always work out.
That's a good point.
That's kind of like,
don't really give up. Like, don't just like throw in the towel, you know?
Yes. And I think container gardening is good as long as you are going to be pretty good about watering.
Okay.
You know, remember to water because you don't have the ground, obviously, in a raised bed to keep it moist and watered. So that's good. But if you have a raised bed, then you just need to start with some good soil.
Okay.
And you can buy bagged compost at any of the really good
nurseries, what kind, like when you say stores.
Good soil, like what do you recommend? Because there's so many out there, and that's one of the problems I have when I go to the store. I see these different soils, and one says they do this, and another one does that. So I'm like, what's just a good general like
compost? Just start.
Okay.
Just ask for a bag of compost.
Okay.
And organic is better.
Okay.
There's several different brands out there that are going to be organic, that are going to be rich in nutrients.
Uh-huh.
I also really do like something called MicroLife. It's a kind of a fertilizer. It's food for the soil and for the organisms because you have living organisms in that compost and you want them to continue. It's that ecosystem that we kind of talked about earlier. And then you just find the plants that you like.
Okay.
So any of the good feed stores, the ones close and by me, I live over by the Heights, is Wabash.
Mm-hmm.
Their staff is so knowledgeable and they can give you, you can just go in and say, I just want to start a garden. Tell me what I need to do.
Oh,
and
that's
they'll
nice.
Help you. There's a good feed store on Main near 45. They're super helpful there. They have lots of good information. So really just finding a good place. Your Home Depot, Lowe's, maybe not as much information. But
your local kind of smaller feed store, the people will know more about what
they
can help
you. They can definitely help
you. I saw at, Costco is always in tune to what is in demand. And I was in there the other day and they actually had these ready-made garden beds. One was just a wooden garden bed and the other one was actually a self-watering one. And I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Smart.
But they are, you know, they know that it's in demand that people are wanting to do more gardening. And so they do have these really nice raised, already made garden beds. And I think the one that was self-watering was on wheels.
Oh, that's
so you could even move it around. So I just thought that was really nice. And I was thinking, I was like, where can I put that? I was like, I don't really have a space, but it was cool.
That would be good. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I just saw it. They just had it. So now I'm interested to see if they're actually going to be out of them because they, you know, usually the stuff that they get like moves through there pretty quickly. But I've never seen these garden beds before at Costco. And so now they have them. So obviously the demand is out there.
I think the demand is there. I know during COVID we talked and I was looking for seeds and couldn't find them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. One of my go-tos is Johnny's Seeds. And
is that online?
Yes.
Yeah.
And a friend I was talking to last week was telling me that only certain days are they selling to consumers because the rest of the time, because they do provide commercial seed too to these other urban farms and small farms because they lost, unless they had a big greenhouse operation, then they lost so much.
Yeah.
Oh, during the storm.
So, super sad.
So much. Yeah.
The other thing that I found interesting, and I don't know if you know anything about this, but they have these like hydroponic indoor gardens that I've been seeing popping up everywhere. And some of them look really nice. They're vertical and they have the lighting system with them. Some of them already, you can hook them up for watering. And some of them are really attractive. And I was talking to Sherry, I was like, you know, this is interesting with like home design and kitchen design. Like you could actually design an area where someone could have their
indoor garden.
I think that could be like a new thing.
Yeah,
but
you might start a little niche.
You might.
There.
You should.
I know, right?
I love it. I would do it.
I would do it too.
I think it's a good idea. I think that, you know, especially for like this listener, someone who's really just wanting to get started, I think that indoor hydroponic system is good. I mean, it has more benefits than just what you harvest because you see this and you know what wellness design. How much that improves your environment. But I think on a larger scale, I do have some concern about hydroponic farming.
Okay.
You know, when we talk about farming today, we think mostly about conventional farming that's monocrop, meaning they're only growing corn or they're only growing wheat or soy. But those kinds of systems are really depleting the soil. You know, it's over farmed.
Okay.
And so by rotating crops and something, a form of agriculture called regenerative agriculture, where the soil health is the number one priority for the farm. And it's not just, you know, growing kale, but it's growing a variety of vegetables and fruits and livestock and bees.
It all works together.
Yes, it's a system.
Okay.
And all those things work well together.
Okay.
And so that becomes really more of this, not only an environmental impact that farming has, but also around social justice, because they're concerned about living wages for people working on the farm. And that comes back to why we should be shopping at our farmers markets and why we should really be supporting local growers. It's a much bigger thing. You know, in places like Japan and Shanghai, they've had hydroponic farming for a while. And those are places where land is
limited.
Okay. So in some places, those things are going to weigh into how things are produced. But and we have some at the farmers market. There are some great hydroponic growers. We have JSH makes these delicious microgreens.
I have.
They're so good.
And they're beautiful.
Yes, they are. They're just beautiful on your salad or your plate or your eggs. Whatever.
And they're when I saw them, I think at the East Side.
Okay.
And just their tent when you walk up. I mean, they were. I think it's the same people.
Just trays and trays.
And it was just this green.
It's beautiful. Moonflower Farms have this beautiful lettuce, and it's delicious. There's even a farmer, I think it's called Veg Out. They're not at the farmer's market, but they supply to HEB, our local here in Houston, something like 90,000 pounds of tomatoes a year. So it is a big scale operation. But what I'm concerned about is I think we're just still learning about the ecosystem in our soil and what that does, not only for providing nutrition to our food, but for this whole system, how our animals benefit,
I could
how
see
our
that.
People benefit.
I agree. Those are good points.
I could see that. I could see where, I totally see that now that you say that, talking about the soil and all the nutrients that are already in the soil, and then those nutrients are getting into the plants or the produce that are being grown there. And so if you're not having those nutrients, then you're not getting that same level, or maybe you're getting something else in the produce that you didn't want to have.
And it's also the relation back that the plants give to the soil. You know, there's an exchange that happens.
So maybe have a little small hydroponic, like gardening at home for fun, but not like your main source of.
Yeah, these places like in Denmark is just enormous. And, you know, it's all this artificial light, which I know has been researched and studied to match, you know, the wavelengths of the sun. And all the nutrients in the water have been measured to replicate.
But there's always something that's missing. Yeah, but you missed the whole. Yeah, it's interesting.
I do find them interesting, though. And I thought that they were really pretty. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'll start with like a herb, little herb garden, you know, just the ones that I use all the time. And do one of those, like just kind of right in the kitchen. And that way, you know, it's kind of easy. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just do something small like that.
You should.
And the other thing that I like to grow is, I haven't done it recently, is green onions. Because you can just chop those off and put those in the soil, and they just grow like magic. You really don't have to do much to them.
Just wait.
Just wait, and then you can have fresh, you know, green onions anytime you need them.
So I thought minerals.
And minerals.
You get all your minerals.
Do you are you familiar with farmhouse delivery?
I've heard of it.
So I use that.
Yes, you do, and you like it.
Yeah, I've used them for years.
What's been in your share lately?
Well, I don't do the bundles anymore because it was too much for me. Okay. But I started out doing the bundles. Now I just kind of order a la carte. You know, I'll go in, and that's what, if I do meat, I usually get it from them, and it's all local Texas farms.
That's great.
But it's
so good. Those kind of models, I think, are so good because there's so many of these small farms that when you line up and have all these small farms, it's a market. It's a way for them to get out because. You know, now that we're having so many farmers markets in the city, it gets to be a lot for the farmers to have to show up to all of them. These markets.
That's true. That's true.
So those are good.
Yeah. I love it. They've been around. They started there in Austin.
Yeah.
So Shauna brought us some homemade sauerkraut for us to try, which I'm really excited about.
And we have to flip between the white and the red.
Oh, well, you can pick which one you want. So I'll let you pick.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I already know which one you want, but... The red.
So
yes,
the red I know that Sherry was going to want the red, so I'm like, she can have it.
It does have a little bit of pepper. I did make it a little bit not so. Real spicy, but it does have a little bit of spice. More traditional, dill,
that sounds good
kind of flavor.
Okay,
so, but you have to let it sit
till Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not.
Yeah, I'm excited to try this.
All those bugs have not done their magic yet.
Those bugs are magical.
So what other, because I know you love cooking so much. So like, what are some of your like favorite recipes that you like with some of your gardening and home garden or even things that you get at the farmer's market? Like, do you have any like really good, like easy recipes that
you? Well, I was asking my husband about this when I saw that you might want a recipe. And I don't know. I just, you know, when
you
I just cook.
Uh-huh.
And I'll, you know, have what I got at the market, and then that's what I'll, you know, try to make for the week.
Uh-huh.
And so two things I was thinking of that I thought maybe your listeners might find it easy. And I can send you the recipe if you want to post it.
Yes, please do.
But it's just a cabbage and a carrot slaw.
Ooh.
But it's with coconut milk, and it has some spice, so it's a little bit spicy, so a little bit creamy, not a traditional coleslaw. But you can have it as a side, like if you made an Instant Pot pork tenderloin did shredded, you know, like pulled pork with this slaw. Or you can use it as a filling for fish tacos.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Or a collard wrap, because it had all these collard greens.
I've never thought about doing a collard wrap.
I love collard wraps. They're so good.
I love collards, but I've never thought about doing a collard wrap.
Yeah, okay, you have
That's
to.
Better than lettuce.
Pat Greer's Kitchen. Have you ever eaten any of her?
I love her.
No.
I do too.
Isn't she just...
The first ingredient on all of her labels is made with love.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She is fantastic.
She's fantastic. And she has a long history with Urban Harvest.
She does. She's there every...
So she has these. It's all vegetarian. Maybe vegan.
I think it's vegan.
Okay. And there are these collard wraps, and it's called fish taco. But she has these kelp crackers that make it kind of that sea flavor. And it's wrapped in a collard green leaf.
Oh,
and it's so good. So my collard wraps don't compare to hers, but that slaw is really good.
I love collards. I make them every year it's my New Year's Day
tradition. Ours too.
To make collards.
Ours too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should eat them besides New Year's.
I know. And I do. And because I only thought about them for New Year's, but then I started eating them because they started having them more in the grocery store like year round. Mm-hmm. And so I also started just kind of like stir frying them and trying to do other things with them, just being a little bit more adventurous with the collars. But I love them.
Now you can wrap them. You just never take a leaf and you put whatever you want in there.
But it sounds great because the lettuce can break and sometimes when you put stuff in it, but the collards
it's thicker and would be
perfect.
It can be a little chewing,
to do,
but that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the other recipe I really like, and this is coming up with the zucchini that's coming out soon as it's warming up. Just like you're going to peel, take your vegetable peeler, just like you're going to peel the zucchini skin off, but just keep peeling it. And you just go all the way around it until you have all these ribbons of zucchini. Put a little oil in your saute pan and some garlic, a clove or two of garlic, and then just saute it.
That sounds good.
And then I add just a little bit of lemon zest. It just kind of brightens it. But it's a super quick and easy side that is good fiber. It's just a good, quick.
It sounds good.
Side.
Well, I know that you do seasonal cooking.
Yes.
And, you know, in Chinese medicine, we always talk about eating within the seasons. So I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
I think seasonal eating is very important for many different reasons. Health benefits, you know, with when you're eating what's in season, usually it's also local, but it has more nutrition because it was harvested close to the time that you're going to eat it usually. So can be some, there have been some reports to say up to 45% more nutrition in seasonal local food. So having that is a good thing. It has a health benefits to just variety in your diet, because if you're changing, if you're following the seasons, you're not eating the same food all year
over
long.
And over.
Yeah. And that diversity is very important for the microorganisms in our body. We have something like 100 trillion microorganisms that live from our mouth to our anus.
And we want diversity.
We do. Definitely. I know you probably talk about that a lot with your patients. So having all these different foods that we're eating at different seasons is important. And they also provide the things that we need. If you think about when it's hot in the summer, we have a lot of good fruits in the summer that are watermelon, other melons that are full of water and liquid hydrating fluids. And then in the winter, we're, you know, looking more at the root vegetables that can provide a lot of energy. So if we follow the seasons, we're getting a lot of really good health benefits.
Okay.
There's some economic benefits too, because when we eat seasonally, going back to the farmers that we talked about, we're supporting those farmers because they're showing up with what's growing today.
Okay.
And if we're buying that, then we're supporting that farmer, which is growing our local economy. So there are some economic benefits to it too. Environmental impact is really, if you think about, you know, driving down the road to the farmer's market compared to driving to the grocery, which the 18-wheeler has driven from California, all of our produce. You know, there's that economic environmental impact there of just the transportation.
That's
and
true.
Usually there's also, you know, it's harvested earlier so that it has these 10 days to ripen. And so, again, it's all system kind of comes back to that it has an impact on more than just our health.
Well, I know when we did the meditation, I talked about eating meditation and being, and I was telling her that, that it was the first type of meditation that I ever did.
Oh, really?
And it was in a yoga studio. Yeah. And we had to, they said, bring something to class the next time, something to eat.
Okay.
And so I brought a processed, like a grain granola bar. And so I had to sit there and think about how that got to my mouth.
Yes.
That whole process, you know, you don't think about it getting in an 18-wheeler and traveling, you know, 200 miles. You don't think about that. And it really opened my eyes.
Probably many 18-wheelers with a granola bar, with one granola bar with all the different ingredients.
You just don't think about that. So when you kind of become more mindful of how it got to your table or to your mouth, it's a different story.
Yeah. And I'm all about like helping the local businesses, you know, nothing against the big box businesses that we have and the chain grocery stores and stuff. But I do think there's a level of trying to help out local businesses and being more mindful of trying to shop local. With all businesses.
So what do you, how do you, when someone, I know one of the big arguments with eating local and eating organic is price.
Right.
But I don't think we need that much food. You know, I don't think, I mean, we don't need a lot of food to survive on.
Right.
Right. So I think we're so used to going to like HEB, and I love HEB, but a big, big grocery store, and we just pile our carts up. If we could be more mindful of like what we are eating, then you could cut cost.
And that's one of the things, what I mentioned that longevity research in the beginning is calorie restriction is showing up time and time again. And not that we need to starve ourselves, but this whole idea of, certainly of America today being overfed and undernourished. And so we have a obesity crisis where we have gotten to a place where food and eating all throughout the day is really harming our health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it creates this sugar imbalance and insulin resistance that leads to chronic disease.
Yeah.
And so having a little more presence of, if these foods seem a little more expensive, which I would challenge you shopping at a farmer's market, because they want to sell everything that they've brought.
Right.
And their prices can be pretty competitive.
Yeah.
And I think that it's pretty comparable when you really When you compare those two things.
I've always found, too, that it's good to have a menu at least, or some idea of a menu of what you're going to kind of make for the week. And then you buy basically just what you need for whatever meals that you're going to make, and maybe a couple extras. Because I'm one of these people where I go to the grocery store and then I start, oh, I buy this, and then I buy that, and the marketing gets you.
It
does, and then I find out that I have more food than what I'm actually going to eat, and then it goes bad, and then I feel bad about it going bad. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to be a little bit, not buy as much, because I'm like, I can always go back to the grocery store if I need to get something.
Right. Well, there are two things. Instacart.
Yes.
Like, I find one, I don't like using it because they don't always pick the best veggies.
Oh, okay.
But I do like it because it avoids you filling up your basket.
Yes.
The impulse buying. That's true. And the other thing about going to a farmer's market is you have to carry everything.
Yeah.
So you can't get too much.
Your thing about starting with a meal plan, you know, I do think it's a good idea, specifically if you're looking to make some behavior changes around what you're eating and to stay on budget and not to waste food. But it's kind of flipped when you go to the farmer's market, because if you can show up and be open-minded that I'm going to make my meal plan while I'm here, because this is what's in season. This is what they're offering. And so I see Brussels sprouts and cabbage and collard greens. How do I work that into a meal? Mm-hmm. Which for novice cooks, that's a little daunting.
Yeah.
But for other people who say, okay, I can have an open mind and I'm going to try this, then you can figure out what your sides are going to be. And if you are a meat eater, you can go to the ranchers and find your meat. Mm-hmm. And then you've got what you needed.
And that makes it fun, too, because then you're creative and you're learning about maybe some sort of vegetable that you've never incorporated in a recipe before.
And I find the farmers are so happy to share what you can do with it if you don't know what it is, or how other resources maybe to find recipes.
That's true.
There was one guy there and he was always giving out samples. I mean, you want to try this? You want to try this? You want to try? I'm trying to remember. It was... oh my gosh. I'll think of it in a minute. Yeah. But I thought it was like a bread company, but he always had cheeses and he was there all the time. You probably know who I'm talking about, but yeah.
Well, now I'm going to have to go to the farmer's market this weekend. So you've got me all excited about
it. Yes. You really will enjoy it.
Are they still doing the music at the new location?
They haven't since COVID not, you come and still wear a mask. But they're not doing samples, so nobody can really taste food.
Okay.
And they don't have the music to, because they don't want just...
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Although it is a nice community.
It is.
I love going there because I see my same friends. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice thing. Which is another big part of our health, this community.
Yeah, community connection.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about, Sherry or Shauna or
mention?
This has been great. I learned so much today.
Yeah. Good.
So Shauna, how would people get in touch with you? We'll put it in our show notes too.
Okay. My website is my name, ShaunaTatumRD.com, RD for registered dietitian. And then on Instagram and Facebook is at ShaunaTatumRD. So
very good.
I'd love for you to visit.
Yeah, and we will definitely post her recipes.
Yes,
so that you guys can have those.
And we'll post a picture of our sauerkraut.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll post it. It's so pretty too. I can't wait to eat it. But this has been so great.
Fun.
Thank you so much for coming.
You'll have to come back.
It was a lot of fun.
There's so much around nutrition.
Like it's so interesting.
Yeah. So,
but you know, we have to end at some point. So. So we'll have Shauna back on. And thank you. And thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Join us every other week for a new episode. Go to your favorite podcast platform and subscribe to us so you don't miss out on any new episodes. And please share our podcast with your family and friends. If you like what you hear, please give us 5 stars and a positive review. It will greatly help our rating and success of the podcast.
You can also keep up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Health Dwellness. To find out more information, visit our website at healthdwellness.com. We welcome your input. If you have any ideas, comments, or questions, you can email us at healthanddwellness@gmail.com.